This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, with Paulino behind the paranormal, everything you know is wrong. Tell us more, Paul.
Well, as I say, the idea of how we know anything, let alone anything paranormal, if you go back to René Descartes, French philosopher and mathematician, he's the one who came up with the idea that I think, therefore I am. Je pense, donc je suis. Well, on his deathbed, he reportedly took that back. He said, even that's not good enough. You know, and he didn't get into the philosophy of it, but you can take it from there. I mean, I've always wondered, well, how do you know where the thought is coming from? What if it's not from inside you? Maybe you don't exist. So there really is just, I suppose, faith in a way, in a broad sense of the term. Well, you know, we get up every morning, we fulfill our responsibilities, hopefully. We love God, love our families, and do what we're supposed to do. And to me, you know, whatever happens, that's how I want to be found. And it's simple, and it's really foolproof. I think it's not subject to mistakes in the text. And I think that's really what we come down to, a sort of a humility and a simplicity. And there seems to be a lack of that in modern society, where we're sort of trained to be narcissists, I think. So I think, yeah, keeping it simple is really the best way to whatever truth we can find. And you mentioned the real world before, Gene. I don't know if there is a real world. You know, it's really subject to all sorts of variables, and I think keeping it simple is really the only way to proceed. Maybe, as Aristotle suggested, the tabula rasa, the clean slate, and you just start writing on it as best you can.
That was exactly what they taught me in journalism school, was the KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, right. It's true. That's funny. I never went to journalism. I was in the seminary. And when they threw me out for studying the paranormal, the only other thing I could do was write. I'd written for a few religious newspapers. I threw together a portfolio, and what I later found out was the worst newspaper in New England hired me. So at least I got my foot in the door as a reporter, and it's been a pretty good career since then.
Talking about whether or not things have been written accurately, I mean, you know, it's something that continues today. I mean, you look at most social media, especially when you have different people writing about one source. And you look at the completely different takes on, say, a certain story that will come out, especially if it's something controversial, and then how each one will propagate, you know, across social media. And so, I mean, you know, we live in an age where it's like you're talking about how, you know, like the ink can bleed through and you get a completely different word on one side on how something that may have been an accidental or deliberate mistake nowadays can propagate so widely till it's believed to be true.
Well, that's true. And the paranormal as well. Now, we all go to and speak at paranormal conventions, UFO conferences, things of that kind. The pattern seems to be the same. You know, you have maybe your book table after you've spoken or before, and people come up, and, you know, they're salt of the earth, great people, but they automatically assume that you believe it the way they believe it. Mm-hmm. And particularly the ghost things, they'll go on, you know, but they will have listened dutifully to your lecture, which may be, you know, providing an alternative view to the paranormal from the traditional 19th century view, and they just walk up and they just start talking about the traditional 19th century view as if you believe it too, as if they haven't heard a thing. So I often will doubt, you know, what have I not communicated here? But people believe what they want to believe, and they hear things in the context in which they want to hear it. And you speak out of one framework, they hear it from theirs, and maybe you get nowhere. And writing, too. I mean, the people will – I mean, I've written things, as we all have, and people have totally failed to accept it in the framework in which it was written, and they take it from their own frameworks. I mean, what do you do? I mean, although there are always plenty of people who do sort of receive it in the way it was meant. But if you look down through history, this is a human problem. We are not logical creatures. I can see why Mr. Spock would get frustrated. We are not sensible creatures. And I guess, kind of do the best we can, and that's about it. But it can be very frustrating. I mean, just, you know, as I say, whether it's spoken or written, you just don't have the ability to communicate in any way. Now, does it, in a second, just to get back to the oral history idea, one thing... there was a Cree elder in Quebec pointed out to me about why their particular world was able to accurately transmit oral history was because their lives were very simple. They didn't have a lot of distractions. Now today, everybody in the world is, you know, got Facebook and TV and everything, so there are plenty of distractions. But at the time, it was in the 70s, he said, so I think there might be some validity to that, that the fewer distractions you have, the more accurately you can convey your beliefs and the beliefs of your people. So maybe there's something to that.
Well, just think here in terms of problems, we go back to a lot of the things we've investigated in our paranormal universe. And for example, we had an episode with Greg Lawson, who is someone with law enforcement experience. He tried to look into the Roswell case and evaluate the testimony as a police officer would do, try to see mm-hmm. who's telling the truth and who isn't. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether what they say, the witnesses, is true or not. Even if true, it's filtered through at the time of the first testimony on Roswell over three decades in the interim, getting an accurate picture, a reasonably accurate picture of what happened is impossible.
Well, it's true, and I can give you an example from that Bridgeport poltergeist case of 1974. There was a book that, and I, when I heard the urban folklore that came down from this, you know, it's going on 50 years now that occurred, 45 anyway or more. The story went that Marcy, the little girl in the house, who was the one thrown across the room, I was trying to defend in that incident I discussed. Having to do with this incident. And when you look at one of the folklore items, a sort of urban folklore that kind of came down from this case, it has to do with a book. Now, Marcy supposedly was fascinated by the occult, the story goes, and she carried around a book written in Sanskrit, the ancient Indian language. And this is baloney because the book that they were referring to was mine. It was an Eastern Orthodox prayer book with a Russian cross on the front, which has the three bars on it, would look funny to most people. And if you open the book, on one side is Church Slavonic, which is in the Cyrillic alphabet, and the other side is in English. So I'm sure some well-meaning police officer or journalist or someone saw this book on the table, saw Marcy carrying it around, which she did. And just assumed that this is an occult book, and you know, one step led to another, and the kid was responsible for the poltergeist case. And I was the only one to really be in a position to know that this was not the case. So not only do we have stories passed down inaccurately in the paranormal situations, too, we've got stories that are just incidents that are simply misinterpreted and misreported. So I think that's an example of what we've been talking about. And I have that book to this day, and I get a laugh every time somebody, I hear the urban legend about it. So this is just one example of other things that could have happened.
Let's do our break, and then we'll kick back. Try to figure out if we can ever determine what really has happened as we investigate all this stuff with Paul, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, that explains why Tim Schwartz always has a different closing for the Paracast stinger. He doesn't remember. the previous ones he used. Is that correct, sir?
What was that question again, Gene?
Who is this? I can't tell which way is west. The sun doesn't look right. But seriously speaking here, we look at trying to sort out testimony, and we're trying to figure out the answers to paranormal mysteries. And if we can't even figure out what happened, how do we solve the mystery?
Well, I think we get to a point, Gene, where we just have to have the experience. Now we have one of our producers on our show is also part of our team. When we go out, not really a team, we're a group of friends. Everyone has a different talent. We work on the flap area cases. And she's always insisting, and she's a behavioral scientist by training and by profession, that we have data. And we do. We gather data. We gather statistics. We interview people on camera. But it really is a very subjective experience. And all of life is a subjective experience. You know, you might have a coworker and say, oh, this boss is horrible. Then what do you mean? I think he or she is great. You know, it's all very subjective. So, I mean, that in itself will make for different stories. But do the different stories mean that they're inaccurate? You know, who's more accurate, the positive thinker or the negative story? There may be no objective answer to that. It may be subjective, as many things in life are. Here's another example from the paranormal world, if you will. In the Pennsylvania Triangle case, in September 16, 2016, I was up in a field. Now, we had only started the case this year, 2016, and this is only our second expedition to the area. You know, it was we consider a flap area, large area where the neighbors, all the people would have, you know, the rural area, but the houses were spaced. But people would have ghost phenomena going on. Almost everybody who came to our neighborhood meetings had seen Bigfoot and strange lights, sometimes in close proximity. So I'm up in the field, and I have my cameras all pointed toward where we had captured some photos of some strange lights the previous trip. And, you know, you should know better after all these years. Things are not going to happen the way you expect them to. Off to my right, I see Bigfoot, okay? Brilliant moonlight, huge legs and knees moving up and down, brown fur, I'll never forget it, of course. Head bowed as if looking for something. Now, I consider that a very positive, almost sacred experience. Now, I prepare for going any wilderness area or any area of this kind. I go in, I will do so with great respect. I'll say a prayer first, this sort of thing, and maintain a spiritual sort of attitude and state of being, if you will. A little girl, not long after, broad daylight, coming home from school on the dirt road beneath this hill, the description was the same creature, or one very much like it. She had an utterly horrifying experience. To this day, and we're talking 5 years, she will not talk to us, because you got these, you know, scary looking guys from New England with beards. I don't know, maybe that's it, but she will come to the neighborhood meetings with her parents, and she just cries most of the way through it. I hope at some point she'll tell us what happened. But the story the parents told was that she ran into this creature, the same kind of thing, and was utterly horrifying, broad daylight. So, in a sense, the same experience, but totally different experiences. So, I mean, how do you measure that? What's the objective measure of such a thing? You might say, well, the existence of Bigfoot. Well, I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, where does a huge creature of that kind, 500 to 800 pounds, live in a rural area, a rural farming country, but it's not wilderness? There are maybe 10, 15-acre woodlots. You know, where do you hide a huge primate in there and everybody not know about it? So, hence our idea, which is shared by many cryptozoologists, that people are coming, that these things are multiversal creatures coming and going in order to find food or whatever they do. So, you know, where is the objective truth? The experiences themselves are so very subjective. And we participate in them, I think, depending on what we bring to it. So how do you, I'd be interested in seeing what Tim has to say about that.
Well, it reminds me of people, say you have a group of people who have a UFO experience, you know, say the UFO swoops down over the sky, hovers overhead, and then flies away. You know, you have one person who is, to them, it's almost like a spiritual experience. I mean, they're just, you know, buoyant afterwards. And then somebody else in the group is horrified. You know, and it's the most terrifying thing in their life. So, what's the difference? You know, very same event, yet two completely different reactions.
Well, what do you do with this? You've got a group of people, UFO experience, clear as day to some, other people don't even see it. Same thing with ghost phenomena, things of that kind, even Bigfoot phenomena. You know, the First Nations will tell you that Bigfoot is a shapeshifter, which doesn't necessarily mean changing into a cat when it wants to, but coming and going when it wants to. So what do you do in a situation where some people are having the experience, they're right there, they see it, and you can't?
So now and I think this may have been the same around the same time, or maybe the next time you were in the area when you and your group had the auditory experience in the garage.
Oh yes, well that was actually May of 19, but it was in the same area. The our base camp, as we call it, the home, whose lovely people are our hosts whenever we're there, and who very conveniently own a lot of acreage where we can do what we want and plan ourselves and stake out and all that. That took place just outside their house. They have a lovely kind of patio area with a horse corral in the back and all this. Yeah, that was May 25th, 2019. We had all, now we did all see this. Now, there were six of us the previous night, the midnight of the 25th into the 26th. We were having, just doing sky watching. And one of our people had said, I don't think we should stake out tonight. We should sky watch. He just had a feeling. Boy, was he ever right. Hmm. All of a sudden, from behind the trees comes a UFO, a UAP, but it didn't necessarily look like a craft. It looked like a glowing cloud with a solid object coming out of it and going into it in the end. And I happened to have my brand new, never been used, Best Garda 300 IR telescope. I should say microscope, right? Binoculars. And I got the whole thing on video. Several minutes long. And again, we all saw this. It was an objective experience in that sense. But we had been doing experiments with tones, as we call them, tones or sounds, and just sort of playing these into the environment, and to see if it stimulated anything. I'd never done that before in all these years.
We are going to do our breaker because we have to do those things.
I don't.
We have Paul and Tim and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. and the European Union have announced a truce on a trade dispute that began during former President Trump's time in office. The previous administration imposing a 25% tariff on European steel and another 10% tariff on aluminum in June of 2018, citing national security grounds. Those will be rolled back now, and the EU is going to also roll back the retaliatory measures it took. The fall classic continues, although it may not go much longer.
The Atlanta Braves have just taken Game 4 of the World Series, and they are one win away from their first World Series title since 1995.
The Braves hosting Game 5 tonight. On Tuesday, there's going to be a ratification vote on a tentative deal reached between John Deere and the United Auto Workers, which represents the over 10,000 workers. And this is USA Radio News.
Let's everybody get vaccinated.
Vice President Kamala Harris rolling up her sleeve on Saturday for a COVID booster shot. She got the Moderna booster in D.C., and so far the CDC has approved booster shots for folks over 65, those with pre-existing conditions, and those who work at jobs with a high risk of exposure. The White House confirming that Harris's job duties of frequent travel and meeting with many people made her also eligible for that booster. An investigation is underway after an Amtrak crash left three people dead and one seriously injured in South Carolina. The North Charleston Fire Department saying that Amtrak train slammed into a vehicle about 2:30 a.m. on Saturday. Four people found near the heavily damaged vehicle. Three were pronounced dead at the scene, and paramedics treated that lone survivor who was taken to a hospital. Officials say the train was carrying about 500 passengers. None of them were hurt. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, there's Tim Schwartz imitating the dreaded Joe Biden whisper. I'm not getting into politics, folks. I don't care whether you like the guy or not. But he whispers sometimes, and it can sound a little strange. Very strange, is he like that? Anyway, we continue trying to sort reality from the other stuff, for better or worse. You were in the middle of something. We interrupted you unceremoniously, Paul Eno. Please continue.
Well, thank you, Gene. Yes, well, this is the UFO sighting and video of May 25th into the 26th, 2019, near Du Bois, Pennsylvania, in the Pennsylvania Triangle, which was our biggest case right now. So after that occurred, we went to bed, and we had been doing tones, as we said, playing some music. I'd been up in the field before this sighting, playing music from the American composer Mort Lauridsen, who is writes liturgical music, and he writes very, very haunting stuff and uses dissonance in a very beautiful way, which is pretty hard to do.
You're not a rock and roller, I suspect.
Okay, well, as I began to play that, just up by my truck, I was by myself, all these lights started flashing around the truck. And this is May, it's way too early for fireflies. I mean, I know what a firefly looks like. I spent half my life in the woods. And it wasn't that, it was just the exploding orbs kind of thing. And then after the UFO sighting and video activity of that. We went to bed, and the next day, this area has, everybody's heard of the Continental Divide. A lot of people don't realize there's a Western Continental Divide and an Eastern Continental Divide. And this Eastern Continental Divide runs right smack through where we were, which brings up some interesting geotechnic possibilities, including the Bouguer anomaly, which is something that we find in the middle of all these flap areas. We want to talk about that. We can do that later. So the following night, there's a park commemorating the presence of this Eastern Continental Divide in this town. So we went over there, pitch dark, and we played some more tones. Now, the tones were played by our friend Shane Searway that he'd gotten from Mount Shasta. Okay, everybody knows about that as a mystical place and all that stuff. And I played Lauridsen again. Well, nothing happened until we got back to the house. It was 1 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts, and the garage of this home, this base camp, as we call it, had an adjoining apartment where a couple of us would sleep, and the rest of us would go out and sleep in our trucks. And our producer and our research assistant had arrived from New York of our show, and all of a sudden, over her head, there was a tone. It was a perfect C, Ben later said. Now, Ben is a sound, has a degree in sound design and audio engineering, and he was home preparing for a two-hour radio special we were going to do from our radio station, and so he wasn't with us, but he said later on, this is a perfect C, absolutely perfect, no distortions in it whatsoever. It appeared over her head, and everybody's looking at me, Paul, what did you step on, you know, and, but there was no, the whole alarm was very pleasant. It moved away from her head, went out the closed door. We all followed it. There were seven of us. It was above us. It moved to the right, faded out, powered back up, came over us again, and went off into the sky. And it was the perfect C. I mean, what is that? What, was that a response to the musical and tonal stuff we'd been playing before? Was it? I don't know. I had never experienced that in all my years. So we're, needless to say, we're going to be doing more experiments with sound, but we referred to that as the tone. And the next day we had our, it was a Sunday, we had our 2 hour special on Behind the Paranormal, and we were wondering, are we going to have enough to talk about? Well, we sure had plenty to talk about. Our radio station has a video feed with it, and we showed the UFO video and played the tone, and, it was really, people can go back and look at it. May 26th, or 5th or 6th of, 2019, just look for the show from that date, and people can see the whole thing. But we all, in that case, heard everything and saw everything that was going on. It was quite the objective experience. Nobody didn't see what we did or hear what we did. So that was one example. But it was really something.
Wasn't there somebody who was in the house that didn't hear?
Oh, yes. Tim, what would I do without you? Yeah, so one of our gang had gone to bed, was still awake, had only just gone to bed, and the door was ajar between the garage and the apartment, didn't hear a thing. Our hosts, who were in their bedroom right above the garage, didn't hear a thing. Even when their windows were open, because it was kind of a, you know, semi-warm night, when we went outside, they didn't hear it either, and it would have been right outside their window. So only the people who seemed to be participating in this actually heard it.
That goes back to your earlier question, though, about some people seeing a UFO in a group and then others not.
Yeah, I mean, that's never happened to me, but I've talked with people in different cases, particularly in the Connecticut flap area cases, we refer to it, who were standing in a group. Some people saw it, some people didn't. Other people in the southwestern Connecticut at that point, this large but it was disc, glowing disc came over a neighborhood. Some of the neighbors came out. Others, some saw it, some didn't. So, I mean, it's just, this does seem to be a situation where we don't just sit there like lumps and experience this stuff, I don't think. We participate in it. If this multiverse thing that we talk about is true, it's possible that maybe we're kind of partially in their world and they're partially in ours. And some people are not, some people are, in an overwash situation, another one of our vocabulary words. And maybe that's how these things come and go, including UFOs.
Well, that would also indicate here
Paul, that it can't just be normal physical spaceships from our reality, because then we presume it would be no more different than parking my car in the driveway, and we all look at it, and there's my car in the driveway, and there's E.T. flying above us. But if E.T. is straddling realities, not everyone will see it.
I think that it might be just that simple, if you call that simple. To sort of add another layer to it, Ted Phillips from Missouri, the late Ted Phillips, who was a good friend, and he had probably the best database in the world of evidence for physical UFO landings, you know, physical craft, would say to us, you know, it seems like these things have been changing over the past 20 years. Stan Friedman was very much of a nuts and bolts kind of guy, although I think toward the end of his life he kind of came around to some of our points of view. But, you know, if we were correct. But what would happen would be that, according to Ted, was that things became less nuts and bolts from about, you know, 20-odd years ago, maybe more, and more ethereal today. He referred to Marley Woods in Missouri, where there would be all sorts of sightings of balls of light, or light balls, he would say. He believed these were kind of the new UFOs, and very often might have been probes. So you've got not only the changing perceptions, and we haven't even mentioned that, you know, the technology of the day influences what we interpret these things to be. You know, as things got more technological in the 20th century, they became, you know, flying saucers and spaceships and this kind of thing. Whereas in the 19th century, there was less of a conception of that. And certainly in ancient times, they talk about shields in the sky or Amenhotep IV, the pharaoh of Egypt, otherwise known as Akhenaten, would have his, what apparently was a UFO experience. And all of a sudden, he made a decree everybody had to worship the sun disk. You know, so I mean, whether that was a UFO thing or not, but our own times determine how we really interpret these things. So now I think people are more amenable to more ethereal kinds of UFOs. There's even some discussion of UFOs being living things.
Lots more to cover with Gene and Paul and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now, so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text G-O-L-D to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
When you talk about UFOs possibly being living things, Paulino, I think of, number one, Ivan T. Sanderson, who yep. had said things like that back in the 1960s. Trevor James Constable had a book out called They Live in the Sky. Living UFOs, tell us more. Of course, that takes us back to the spaceship in the TV show Farscape. It was a living thing.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that, but I don't have time to watch a lot of TV, but I knew Ivan Sanderson, and it was pretty weird, but he was a marine biologist, but he wrote a lot of books on things that had nothing to do with that. But he had some very pioneering ideas and didn't care what people thought, and I respected that. Yeah, the idea of UFOs being living things. When UFO craft allegedly crash and supposedly the government or somebody finds the remnants of it, you have all sorts of odd technologies. And at one point, someone has referred to the Roswell debris as warm to the touch and kind of like skin as opposed to metal, you know. Jim Peniston from the Rendlesham UFO case in 1980, when he was an Air Force sergeant, and he went out into the woods with John Burroughs and saw a craft of some kind on the ground, will tell you that it was warm to the touch. I didn't really remember that, except in hypnosis, if you give hypnosis credibility. And it was warm to the touch, and funny writing on it. But whether it was a living thing is another issue, but there are ideas about, I think even Carl Sagan had speculated about creatures that lived in the atmosphere. And it's funny, you know, we often will put labels on things not only that are inaccurate, but that also depend on the context in which we experience them. You know, for example, if you're in your living room, minding your own business, and this flash of light maybe goes by, aha, a ghost. But if the ball of light or flash of light is outside, there's a ball above it that, aha, an alien or a UFO, depends on the context. So I think that's certainly true that we have to deal with that as well, and it might be neither. The whole idea of orbs. which are so prominent in so-called psychic photography and ghost studies today. We all, I think, have tons of, I could wallpaper a house with the orb photos I have. You know, what are they? We say, aha, spirit orbs, people call them. Well, we don't know any such thing. If they're up in the sky, we might interpret them as UFOs. If they're down on the ground, spirits or whatever. But the idea of living things might come into play here. Ben and I have a suspicion, because of where we see them and where we photograph them, and we have seen them with the naked eye, that they may be living things feeding around the boundaries of parallel realities. A physicist would call them membranes or brains, B-R-A-N-E-S. Carl Sagan and many other people, astrobiologists today, speculate about the existence of plasma-based life forms. Well, what is plasma? It's essentially electrified air molecules, really. That's what these things look like. Now, interestingly, they could be living things, but in photography, as long as I've done this, you know, back in the early 70s, we didn't have digital media. We had, you know, film and negatives and that sort of thing, and you had to take it to be developed or develop it yourself. I didn't see orbs of that kind. There were flashes of light that would appear. There's even a photograph of a flash of light appearing and near someone's leg, and you see right through the leg to the stone wall that the person was sitting on. More arrows in the quiver of the idea, in my opinion, that, as you said, Gene, you've got kind of a world there where you're catching an intersect point in our terms, and the person was there in one world, not in the other. I have several examples of that from photographic evidence for that. But today, you've got digital media that will interpret things. And there are plenty of orbs, classic orbs, that I know were snowflakes or dust or bugs. I mean, you take a flash photograph in a cemetery, especially with some of the polished stone that you have today on some of the gravestones, and you're going to get reflections and bugs and all this other stuff. But there are plenty that we've seen with the naked eye that do not act like that, and I think very well maybe plasma-based life forms. So the idea, we're going to hear more about it, and I think it's about time.
Well, it's a sure thing that this is not something that people like the Pentagon UAP Task Force will ever consider. I mean, that's not even on their radar.
No. Yeah. Well, as I've often said, I think, you know, we grew up with, Mr. Spock and the Planet of the Apes and Chewbacca and all this. And I think we would be perfectly prepared. We being just about everybody in developed societies would be perfectly prepared to accept the idea of alien life out there somewhere, even visiting us now and then. I think people would consider that pretty cool. People are ready for that. But I think what they're not ready for is the notion that if it's true, and if this is what they're really keeping secret, that these things are not far away. They're right next to us all the time in these parallel realities. They can come and go as they please, some of them. And that if the quantum physicists who believe this are correct, that all possibilities, all possible outcomes are out there. Not only are there all possible beings, aliens, nice and naughty, or naughty or nice, as they say, but also various forms of our worst nightmares and our greatest dreams. I mean, I don't think people could deal with that. I mean, and how would the government even come on and talk about that? And I think that may be the reason, the real reason for a lot of the secrecy. And in flap areas, that might be why we run into the military, or as I say, something that looks like the military, because wouldn't we love to weaponize the paranormal? Wouldn't we like to use some of these principles to make it appear that we're manipulating space and time in the face of an enemy? Or think of the money to be made by this, and because the commercial industrial world has been in bed with the military forever, especially in this country. Think of the money that could be saved by eliminating trucks, trains, and airplanes from having to carry goods or even people.
Well, right now with the supply chain problems, we can't get enough truck drivers. I think they need 80,000 truck drivers right now in the U.S. We're not considering other countries where the problems are very likely similar. If we could move that merchandise some other way, just beam it over, that would be great. But then again, you know, there's something about this Pentagon UAP Task Force report that gets me to believe that there's a certain measure of disinformation in there where they're trying to maneuver you or other countries, because they must have a similar problem, into moving or looking into a certain area, and that way obscures what's going on. I mean, with the naval sightings, I could think they might just as well involve test aircraft, yeah, and somehow they manipulate the way these things are read on their instrumentation, so they seem to do things they don't really do. We're fooling them. But at the same token, we're also fooling all the other countries reading those reports.
I think it's, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, Gene, you've got manipulation is everything. You know, now, first of all, there's nothing in that report that I didn't know about it, and that everybody who really has been in the field for any length of time didn't know about already. So what's the big deal? I think the big deal is that people, ordinary rank and file people are seeing the government is coming out and saying UFOs, whatever they may be, do exist. That's how it's being interpreted. So that in itself, I guess, is pretty big. But it's a kind of a yawn, I think, for anybody in the field. So where it's going to go, if anywhere, I don't know. But I think you're absolutely right. Manipulation is everything.
And, of course, there was supposed to be a follow-up to that report after a few months. But no one's talking about it. It hasn't happened. And maybe they figure it didn't cause too much publicity. I mean, the coverage was tepid. I mean, there's so many things going on in the world that very few stories live on the opening of the newscasts before they disappear, yeah, from the news cycle. So certainly, even the revelation that E.T. is here, I suspect that would go for about 3 days. Oh, okay, E.T.'s visiting us. Let's get back to arguing about the politics of the day or the pandemic or anything else.
Well, you know the old saying in journalism, nothing is deader than yesterday's news. But I think you're right. I know a lot of people who believe, both in and out of the field, who believe that this whole thing is just meant to be a distraction from the failures of government policies in other areas that are far more important to the ordinary person. So I think that's true, too, possibly.
Paul Dino, Gene Steinberg, and Tim Swartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.